I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Welcome to Soul School, everybody. This is lesson 59, Family Gatherings and Conflict. Those two things seem to go together really well. And we're coming up on the week of Thanksgiving in the United States and the holiday season in most places of the world, the winter holiday season. I thought this would be a good time to discuss a few of these things. But this is also evergreen content, and family gatherings happen all times of the year, for birthdays and celebrations and all kinds of rituals that we might get together. And so this is the kind of things we need to discuss and think about ahead of the time that we spend together with extended family or our nuclear family. But before I get into that, I want to mention just a couple things, and that is the show notes to Spark My Muse episodes. Normally, the show notes are extensive for my Friday guest interviews. They take anywhere from 45 minutes to two and a half hours to create. And from now on, I'm going to be offering them to anyone who supports the show as a patron sponsor at $1 a month or higher. To do that, you just can go to sparkmymuse.com as you would normally do to get show notes, but there'll be a link there to be a patron sponsor. And you can also go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse. That's just to help me out with the cost of putting it together. And if you're interested enough in the show to want to get the show notes and all the extra links and books and photos and goodies that I put together for the show, it would be really helpful to just sponsor for a dollar. Also at Patreon, if you sponsor for more than a dollar, there's a lot of extras and perks, and there's plenty of other things that have already been loaded up there for you to see, videos and other content. So I hope you will sponsor the show for a dollar a month to get the guest interview show notes. That would be each Friday. And there's also sometimes for Soul School, there are show notes as well. Sometimes they're not that extensive, but other times they will have some very pertinent information. The second thing I want to share with you are Soul School field trips. There is one planned this July in 2017 for July 21st through 23rd. I'm not opening up registration yet, but if you're interested in saving a spot, there will only be 10 spots open. 5 premier on-site spots where you can stay over night in a special cabin. Very nice, very comfortable cabin. And there are 5 spots where you can stay nearby in a hotel of your choice. You'll be accommodation listings will be given to you, and you can drive in for the sessions. But there will only be 10 spots available overall, right off of the Appalachian Trail in central eastern Pennsylvania. It's very beautiful there, and I am so excited to share some time with you and to do a Soul School field trip. I think we're going to have a delightful time, and I've been planning it, and I've been really, really looking forward to it. So if you have the time and you want to come out and share a really unique experience and a really wonderful time to get away and to be refreshed and to enjoy good food and some really deep and interesting and friendly conversation and really get out into nature and get away from it all and refresh your soul, I hope you'll consider signing up for the Soul School field trip. If you're interested in holding a spot, just contact me at contact@sparkmymuse.com and I'll hold a spot for you. Registration is not open yet, but a few people have already contacted me and said, please hold a spot. And now on to the show, Family Gatherings and Conflict. So it goes without saying that when we get together with our family for something like a holiday, there can be a lot of tension, perhaps. There can be a lot of expectations, and we might really enjoy our time with family, and it might be a wonderful, wonderful time. But for many of us, it's a time where wills and baggage and history and expectations all collide, and there can be times of tension or apprehension, or hurt feelings get brought back up, or we slip into old roles that we had when we were kids or teenagers. And it can create some extra problems or some extra stress. And this episode is going to just encounter some of that. So ahead of time, you can be prepared to have the best time possible and maybe be on the same page with some of your family members or relatives, or even some of your friends as you head back to one of these gatherings. The other problem this year for a lot of people encountering Thanksgiving or some of the holidays is that, in, at least in the United States, there's been this most contentious presidential election in recent memory. And everybody seems to have an opinion about this election, and there's been a lot of angst and problems coming up to the election. And your family might be split over what they think about it. And it could add a lot of extra problems and angst and tension and fights going into the family gathering. So what should you do? What can be done to make it a good time anyway, and not to have extra tumult and problems? Is it possible to have a good time, even though there's all these things brewing under the surface and all these past hurts or baggage or history or little conflicts? And are they going to boil up, and can anybody really have a good time, or is everybody going to escape to their phone or the TV or want to get out of there as soon as possible? Is it even possible to enjoy yourself? For a little background on me, the holidays have, from Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, have always been a horrible, horrible time. Growing up, we didn't even celebrate Christmas. And so that was always like kind of a bitter time for me, because everybody else was getting to celebrate something that I couldn't have. And so it was a painful time. We did celebrate Thanksgiving, though. I guess my parents just thought it was virtuous holiday or something. So we did celebrate that, and that was kind of our Christmas. But the other problem was my parents split up when I was about 12. So we had two Thanksgivings, and my mom got remarried when I was about 17, and my dad did a couple months later. And there were a lot of conflicts and tensions with my step parents. I felt like that was really hard to have a blended family. And recently, my mom was remarried again about 5 years ago or so. And it's always hard when you have a blended family to get used to new rituals and rules and new people involved in your family rituals and your long-standing gatherings. And how do you make it work? I've had a lot of years of experience in tense gatherings, and you want them to go well, and you do love your family. But it can be really, really hard. You have these expectations of, yay, we're going to get together and see each other again. And then you realize, oh, yeah, this happens or this happens. And you might have different people in your family slip into different roles. Here are some of the roles you can start to encounter. You live your own life, and you have your own family, and maybe you don't live close to your family, and all of a sudden you encounter all these old roles again. Maybe there's a comedian in your family is always trying to say the jokes to make everybody feel better. Or maybe you have a fixer who's always the one who goes around fixing everybody's hurt feelings or all the problems or trying to make everybody happy. Or maybe you have a princess who, unless everything is absolutely perfect, he or she might get upset that their needs aren't being met. Or maybe you have a person in your family who's always the malcontent. Nothing's ever good enough, and they knew everything would be horrible, and they're just expecting the worst. And anytime anything sort of bad happens, they knew it. They just knew it would go terrible. Or maybe there's someone who's just sort of sulking all the time because they wanted to be somewhere else instead, and they're missing out on something. Or maybe you have the person who's more like the ghost. They never really quite help out. You're never quite sure where they ran off to. And it's almost like they're not there. They kind of just can't deal with all of the personalities in the house. And they're almost not there. Or maybe there's a pleaser, and all they want to do is make sure everything goes smoothly, and they say yes to everything, and they don't stand up for themselves. Or maybe there's just the drama person. Everything's going to blow up into this big argument or fight because they always see the drama in the situation and they can never let anything roll off their back. There's probably some of you in one of those descriptions. Or maybe there's some of you in a few of those descriptions. And maybe you can see your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or your aunt or your uncle or your grandparent in one of those too. And we seem to go into these roles that were already there as we get together with family. And try as we might to withstand those, we sort of spin back into these orbits sometimes. And it's funny too, because if we decide to not spin back into these orbits, we almost are treated with resentment when we don't play into these, because that's almost the expectation. It's unconscious, I think, but sometimes the expectation is, hey, you're the one who fixes everything. Why aren't you fixing this? or whatever it is that our role is, that you're kind of expected to play your part. It's a really funny family systems theory in counseling teaches us about this, where families grow up and people fulfill certain roles. And then it happens unconsciously, really, but you're sort of expected to play your part. And then when you go on and heal from that and lead your own life, and you go back into these situations, there's this strange expectation, even if you've grown up or healed or recovered, that you continue to play these roles. Well, just because that might be the reality of how things work sometimes, when you go back into family gatherings, you don't have to do that. And one of the things I want to point out as a point of encouragement to you is to see family gatherings, whether it's one day of eating at your mom's house or your grandparents' house, if it's one day of being there or a few hours or even a few days, to just remember that you can handle that. There isn't anything you can't handle for a few days. Even jail, you could handle it for a few days. Being out in the wilderness, you could handle that for a few days. So don't think, oh, I'll never be able to do this. It's going to be horrible. No, it's not. You can handle it. You're pretty tough. Okay, so that's the first thing. You can handle whatever's thrown at you, and it's going to be fine. It might not be the best days of your life, but it's going to be okay, and you're going to get through it. So that's the first thing. The other thing a lot of us don't think about, we might be dreading this time, especially I remember as a teenager sort of dreading these sorts of things. We might be dreading this time, but time is actually really precious. And if you actually do the math, you might only spend a few dozen times with your family in these types of occasions before someone dies or before you're not in the picture anymore because you've moved away or something like that. And when you think about it like that, it might be only be six times or maybe a dozen times, at the very most, a couple dozen times, and people will be gone. If you think about it as a very limited resource and commodity and think, wow, you know, some of these people I'm going to miss when they're gone. It doesn't seem like it now, but they're going to not be with me very long. Someone's going to die. It could even be me. And I need to make the most out of this precious time. It might help us to tweak what we think of as time of torture or partially torture. It might tweak it a little bit. And we might think, you know, although there can be some tension sometimes, I might only have half a dozen to a dozen, dozen and a half times left, and that's probably it with these people. So maybe I should do my best to make the best out of the situation. That's the reality. Time is actually quite short. The key point here that is probably the most poignant is that you really only have a few dozen times at the most to spend with your family. Another key point I'd like to point out is to think about it as a time to really connect and not to use it as a time to escape to the television or your technology, unless you're really using that time as a built-in break. So the point there is it's totally fine to have built-in breaks like a walk or an errand or a little time on your phone or something as a built-in break from your family. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. It's actually self-care, and that's important. But if time with your family just becomes mainly time in front of the TV or time in front of your phone, because it's a lot easier than connecting and talking, then it is really wasted time with your family. You might as well just be at home and not come at all. You might as well not bother coming. If you change how you're interacting to being truly present and then taking a break and then being truly present and then taking a break, it's going to be more rewarding for everyone. Everybody's going to be feeling much more engaged. They're going to feel like they mean much more to you. And you're going to find the experience much more rewarding potentially. Now that, of course, is if there aren't a lot of conflicts during your time, if there aren't a lot of tensions and fights brewing. But I have a couple of words of wisdom for that too. If your family is a family where people are afraid to speak about what's going wrong in the family, this could be hard. Things are basically okay, but sometimes it's a little hard to connect for a long period of time. Make the effort to really connect. And also you can plan in your breaks, or you can say, I'm going to go take a walk, or I'm going to go check on something and I'll be back. You know, if it's 12, you say, I'll be back at 2 and we can reconnect then. Another great thing is to plan one or two things a day that people can do together, whether it's a game or an activity or a visit to a place like the zoo, or it's great if you have kids because they make the perfect excuse to go somewhere. But you could go to a bar or a restaurant or an old haunt that you used to go to as kids or when you were younger. And it's great to plan in one or two things a day that you're going to do that's actually more organized, because then you don't just veg out in front of the television or just waste your time. If you plan a few things like that, it can start building new memories. Another thing you can do is just do a little reminiscing. A lot of families do that naturally, but some don't. Some just get stuck in ruts of not really connecting. Another thing to do when you're together to make sure that it's not a lot of tension and conflicts is to remember that you are really a resilient person. Don't get baited by people's torpedoes and things they're going to say to maybe draw you into a conflict or a fight. Resist the urge to get baited and to get pulled into something, someone's drama or someone's argument, because you're only going to be there for a short amount of time. And it's not going to be enough time to really talk about things and resolve things that have started before you got there, and they're not going to end while you're there. If there really is something that needs to be talked about and someone's using it as an opportunity to bring them up, that's a great indicator that things need to be talked about after the family gathering. And that's a great time to decide on meeting up. Talking about things that have maybe created conflict, gotten you to a point of contention. Sometimes people bring up things passive-aggressively because they're too afraid to actually bring them up. On Friday, I have a special episode on passive aggression. It's going to be fantastic, and it really plays into what we're talking about now about family conflicts and family gatherings. So maybe while you're away on your holiday trip or you're away at a family gathering, you can tune in on Friday and listen to what passive aggression is, how to deal with it if you do it or if someone else does it, and what it's all about, where does it come from, and how can it be resolved. There's so much passive aggression in our interactions. Sometimes we're completely unaware of it, and people are unaware that they're doing it. Thanksgiving is so full of passive aggression that sometimes we don't even know that we're swimming in the stuff. So if you detect passive aggression, you can know that people are sort of coming from a place of fear, and don't buy into it and don't take the bait. Confront it kindly and lovingly in a way you say, I think that maybe there's something else going on here that's reminding you of something else, and maybe we can talk about that. Don't let it get you upset. Take this time at times of family gatherings to be a good listener if you can. Remember that you can let a person know that you hear them without needing to solve their problems. Don't feel like you have to solve people's problems during this holiday gathering. You don't. You don't have to fix things. If you can be a good listener, you can just let people say what they need to say, and then you can say, I'm not sure what to do. Don't feel like you have to solve things. Sometimes, like as a parent, I feel like I have to solve this. Sometimes you can let people sit with their pain and their hurt and just let them know that you understand that it hurts. If you're the cause of some of that hurt, where you feel like maybe they sense that you are, you can say, I never meant to hurt you. I can sense that you're hurting, and I'm sorry that happened, that you feel that way. I never meant to hurt you. Sometimes people will speak up because they're making an effort to reconnect, but they are doing it in a clumsy, ham-handed way. And if you have a grudge or hurt against someone, try to let comments roll off your back. Try to cancel that debt. It's very likely people owe you. And there really is no way for them to repay that most of the time, and emotionally or in some other way. Let's face it, people usually can't repay their debt. If you let that debt be canceled, you can be free. Forgiveness sets you free. It doesn't set the other person free. That's on them, but it sets you free. And when you're set free before a family gathering, you can actually enjoy yourself and you can let comments roll right off your back. It's a way to start to really enjoy yourself again with all the tension, with so much less tension, because you don't have to hang on to all these thoughts and juggle them all and remember what you're upset about the whole time. When you go to a family gathering, try to go with offering goodwill, which means that you're inviting connection and you're really living out that the story between you and that other person isn't over yet. And the story never is over. There are always new pages. You don't have to think about you and people in your family as this is a done deal. This is how it is. It's always an ellipse, dot, dot, dot. The story that we're creating, as long as we're alive, is never over yet. We can sometimes act like, oh, well, that's been written. Hey, this is history. This is the facts. It's always been like this. This is how it is. This is how he is. And this is how she is. And she always does that. He always says that. It's always like this. But the fact is, as long as you're still living, as long as you're still writing your story and you're still writing the way you respond in situations and how you decide you're going to respond and react, and you're deciding your attitude right then. And so if you think of things like that, it's still in process and you're writing the next page, you can offer that way out to the other person too, in goodwill. You can say, you know, I'm not done. I'm not giving up. I know that new things are always possible. And with that mindset, as you go in, sometimes a person just needs to hear that is reality, because they've closed off and given up too. Family gatherings can be wonderful sometimes, and sometimes, and most of the time, to be honest, they're just complicated. Some stuff's great, some stuff's horrible, some stuff's awkward. Sometimes there's people you just can't stand or don't get along with, or sometimes they'll say the horrible story you hope they don't say. And sometimes they're just pocked with tensions and unresolved issues. As long as we don't expect perfection or anything idyllic, we can do our best. And we can show up ready to connect instead of escape or show up dreading what might happen. And I think if we show up open and ready to connect, but not expecting too much, we can have a really good family gathering. I think the idea is to be open, but not expecting too much. I've had some really hard holidays, some really awful ones. I've done awful things and said awful things too. I know that there isn't anything you can do sometimes about if someone's going to flip out or a fight's going to break out or something like that. But you can go in the next time with the kind of attitude like, let's try this again. We can always hit the reset button. We can always turn the page and try to write a new chapter. We know that the time we're spending together is really, really limited. And then we're going to go back to our own lives, our own families, and our own jobs, and maybe not see each other for a few more months. And all in all, we'll have a few dozen times together before somebody dies. And it's best to just make the most out of the limited time we have here. This isn't meant to be morbid. This is meant to help us capitalize on this most precious resource of life, and to suck all the marrow and joy out of life that we possibly can. Because while we're busy being upset or worried or tense or afraid, life is passing us by and we're not getting the full joy out of it. When you go outside and you see the beautiful sky, or you hear birds singing or kids laughing or people having fun, enjoying the simple things like good food or a funny story, that's the joy in life, those simple, beautiful things. And everybody has access to enjoy those things. So I wish you a blessed holiday if you're celebrating a holiday, or a time with people that you love or appreciate in the near future, and a gathering you can be happy about and joyous about. And I hope that this brings you some hope and happiness, and maybe you can pass it along to somebody who might appreciate it or enjoy it or get something out of it. Join me again on Friday for the Passive Aggressive episode. And if you have the time on holiday, check some of the other episodes on Spark My Muse. Thank you so much for listening.